Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. I hope you've had an awesome week. Tonight we're going to study a passage from Paul's letter to the Philippians. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 3. I love Philippians. I love teaching Philippians. I love studying Philippians. I like talking to people about Philippians. And it's certainly, well, I don't have a favorite epistle, but it would be pretty close to being my favorite. And there's so much interesting material, so much interesting teaching in this whole letter to the Philippians that I always like to start out by saying that when Paul went to Philippi and he stayed there for 3 months and he established the church there, and there was no synagogue in Philippi, and so he preached pretty much only to Gentiles. And as you know, he went down by the river, down to a beautiful little river that goes through Philippi. My wife and I have been there, and it's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been, where this river runs right outside of the original city. And Paul met Lydia and some other people there because he went to the river to pray on the Sabbath, since there was not a synagogue. And we're not going to get into all that, but, you know, Lydia starts a body of believers, starts a church there, studies under Paul. And as the church of Philippi gets going, you can read all that in Acts 16, 17, 18. But anyway, as the church is established there and gets going, when Paul writes this letter to the Philippians, and he's in prison while he's writing this, this is one of the prison epistles. It's, I think, the only church that he writes to where he doesn't have any criticisms of the church. He loves the church at Philippi. He is very complimentary about them. He thanks them for helping him, and he thanks them for their efforts at spreading the gospel and how much they've contributed to his ministry and to the spread of the gospel and by evangelizing the people around them. And it's really quite a touching letter. They supplied a lot of his physical, material needs, and they were happy to do that. And so Paul really likes this church. All the other letters he, of course, has some criticisms of. This church he only compliments. But that's kind of the overall background to this. But what I want to do tonight is get into part of chapter 3 of Philippians, because this shows the what I call the transition of Saul of Tarsus. Now, I don't mean that he was Saul of Tarsus and the next day he was Paul. His name always was Paul. That was his Roman name. And many people in those days, and many people today, especially in the Middle East, have more than one name that they go by. So he was, in fact, Saul, was his Hebrew name, Shaul. And he grew up in the city of Tarsus, and so he was known as Saul of Tarsus. But his Roman name was Paulus. He was a citizen, which in the book of Philippians is very, actually in the book of Acts, talking about his stay in Philippi was very important that he was a citizen. And we're not going to get into that either. But his Roman name was Paulus, and he was, in fact, a Roman citizen. And he had been, by his own description, a Pharisee of Pharisees and a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was zealous. He puts it in the beginning of in Galatians chapter 1, he says, no one was more zealous for the traditions of the Father than I was. No one was more zealous for the law and the traditions than I was. No one was advancing in Judaism more than I was. So he was the most zealous of all the Pharisees. And he was a very intelligent young man who knew multiple languages. He had grown up in a Greek city, which was a Roman province. So he obviously learned Greek, knew Greek, which was his first language, and Latin. He was a Jew. He went to Jerusalem at about the time of his bar mitzvah and stayed at the temple from then on. So from about age 13 until the Road to Damascus experience, he was in Jerusalem studying under Gamaliel, who was the premier rabbi of that time. We'll learn about him in the book of Acts as well, in chapters 3 and 4. So Paul is this intensely intelligent, very capable young man who knows multiple languages, knows, of course, Torah and the prophets and the writings, all of the Tanakh, because this is all that someone like him did. They studied the scrolls. They debated the scrolls. They wrote about the scrolls. And he was the most zealous of all of them for the law and for the traditions. Now, I say all that to set up the passage that we're going to do, because when he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, he has an incredibly powerful change in how he looks at all of this, all of the things he has been studying for however many years it was. We don't know exactly how old he was when he had the Road to Damascus experience. I would say he was probably maybe late 20s or 30-ish. So he had been studying in Jerusalem for a long time. And he knew the law. But, of course, in Romans and in Galatians, he writes about grace. And he writes about salvation by faith through grace. Or I should say, through grace by faith. And that this was not a salvation that was earned by following the law. It was a free gift that's given by the blood shed by Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, on the cross. And so I can't tell you to read any better book about this than Romans and Galatians. There's many great authors who write great books, and there's nothing wrong with reading all these books, but I think just read the text of Romans and Galatians, and you will learn all the basis of Christian theology. And it would do everyone in the church well in our day and time to go back and read through this, but that's another story. So he's talking about his past and how he looks at things now. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Though I also might have had confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. So Paul says, I'm trusting in Christ for my salvation. That's not my background. My background is, if anyone could boast, it would be me. You see, if you tell people that you are following the law, that you are doing the works of the law, that you are doing the things, and thereby somehow earning your salvation, that is a boast. That is pride. Because you are not doing the law, and you are not earning your salvation. No one ever has, and no one ever will. He says, if anyone had confidence in the flesh, it was me. I was circumcised on the eighth day. In other words, I did all the things of the law. I'm from Israel. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm a Pharisee. Concerning the law, I'm a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. And with the righteousness that's from the law, I'm blameless. As following the law, I was blameless. My righteousness, I thought, was from the law. But now, all those things that I thought were gain, I count as loss because now I know Christ. Compared to knowing Christ, all of this other work that I did, all of this other study that I did is loss. Is loss. I count all things as loss for the excellence of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and count them as rubbish. So all the things he did compared to knowing Jesus as his Lord, compared to knowing Jesus as his Savior, he counts all that other stuff as rubbish. Now, let me clarify, he is not saying that the law is evil, that the law is some dirty trick that God played on people. He's not saying the law is absolutely horrible and is done away with and is not important. The law is very holy, as he tells us in Romans, because God gave the law. God gave the law. Moses did not make up the law. A group of teachers, a group of, Hebrew intellectuals did not come up with the law. The law came from God. He gave it to Moses. Moses wrote down the law. In Torah, the first five books are all of the laws, 613 of them, which if followed will make you righteous. That is how you can earn your salvation, by following all of them completely all of your life. And it also tells us that if you violate one, you have violated them all. And so Paul here says, all that stuff that I did, all the study that I did, compared to knowing Christ, I see it as loss. I always feel sorry in my spirit when I meet someone who has PhDs in various kinds of religious studies or divinity studies or whatever they're called, and can spout the minutes of every church council and can talk about all these things. But when it comes to knowing Christ, they're kind of like, well, yeah. But, let me tell you all the other stuff that I learned. Because Paul says the opposite. He says, once I came to know Jesus, all that other stuff, I not only counted it as loss, I counted it as rubbish. Because Jesus, the Messiah, is the end point of the law. He's the fulfillment of the law. He doesn't abolish the law. He's the end point of it. He's the fulfillment of it. So he says, I count that as rubbish, and I want to be found in him because I don't have any of my own righteousness, which was from the law. When I was before the road to Damascus, he could have said, which would have clarified it for course, maybe these people didn't know about the road to Damascus, but we do. Now, if he would have said before the road to Damascus, I was pretty happy about being righteous because I was doing all the things of the law, very scrupulous. If somebody gave me a dime, I put a penny in the temple treasury. If somebody gave me a loaf of bread, I put a tenth of it in the treasury. I was scrupulous. And he says, I thought I was righteous, but I know now that I don't have the righteousness that comes from the law. The righteousness I do have is through faith in Christ. The righteousness comes from God by faith. And you might remember Romans chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, where he says, now a righteousness apart from the law has been revealed, which is through faith. A righteousness apart from the law has been revealed. I spent all those years studying the law and memorizing things and debating, but now I know what all that was about. I know that all of Torah was about Jesus. I know that all of the prophets wrote about him. I know all the writings of the Tanakh were about him, as he tells us in John 5:39. It's all about him. So now that I understand that, I see my salvation now as it is. I see now that I'm in the new covenant, which is a covenant of grace. I'm no longer living in the old covenant, which is, of course, a covenant of law. So he's showing that he's trusting in Christ. He's not trusting in the law. He's trusting in Christ alone and grace, rather than his background of the law, rather than the hours and days and weeks and months and years that he spent poring over the scrolls and asking questions, and he and Gamaliel and the others debating, what does this word mean? What does this sentence mean? He says, I used to be pretty good at that. I used to boast about that. I thought I was righteous because I was doing that. And in fact, I had more to boast about than most of those people did. I had more to boast about because I was the most zealous of all of them. But now I'm trusting in the Messiah alone. I'm trusting in grace because my righteousness is in him. He says, I don't have my own righteousness. My righteousness is in him. He writes 2 Corinthians 5:21, and if you know me, you know that I always say, if you only want to memorize one verse in the Bible, it should be 2 Corinthians 5:21. That basically says, I'm going to paraphrase it because time is ticking. He made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Our righteousness is in the Messiah. So Paul says, all the stuff I was doing that made me righteous, that's all lost to me now. It's all rubbish. The Greek word that's used there, as you probably know, means manure. It's the word skabula. It means manure. So he said, even though I had the right heredity, I was a true Israelite, and even from the tribe of Benjamin, which was an incredibly loyal tribe, was a small tribe, but they always stayed faithful. They always stood with Judah. They didn't join the rebellion of the other tribes after Solomon died. I was even from a great tribe. I was faithful to the law. That's why he adds, I was circumcised on the eighth day. It's the sign of the covenant. He says, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Nobody was more of a Hebrew than I was. This is a true identity that he has. And this shows the depth of the identity he had. He wasn't somebody that went to the synagogue on Shabbat and, you know, stayed an hour or so And if it went on too long, he would kind of sneak out the back door. No, he was at this. This was his whole life. He says, now, all that stuff I did, all that stuff I learned from Gamaliel, I count it as loss. He talks in Acts 26. Beginning of Acts 26, he talks about how he lived as a Pharisee. How blameless he was. The righteousness of the law. No one could accuse him of not following the law. And so he persecuted the church because he felt these people were enemies. These people were doing something ungodly. These people were doing something that was idolatrous because they felt that a man could be God, and that is impossible. And so they had to die because that's the sentence for blasphemy. So he says, these things were so important to me, and I had so much gain from this that this was my whole career. Now it's loss. Now I gave up my position as a Pharisee. I don't wear all the cool stuff anymore. I don't get to sit in really nice meeting rooms. I don't get places of honor at the synagogue. I don't get places of honor when I go to social events or public events or whatever, because I gave that all up. Because all that matters to me is that I'm following Christ. And compared to that, those things don't enrich him. In fact, they inhibit him. When he was trusting in those things, he was lost. He's now trusting in Christ. But if he believes and goes back and says, well, you know what, maybe I made a mistake, I'm going to go back to the law, he would be lost. And if he trusted in those things now, he would be lost. So he counts them as rubbish in comparison. You see in Galatians in chapter 2 how he fights against the people telling the new believers that they had to follow the law of Moses. He says, absolutely not. And here he's not talking about, and this of course is a common thing in anyone that you talk to about, who's a Christian, who's not a Christian. He's not talking about having some intellectual knowledge of who the Messiah is, what the Messiah does, how the Messiah is prefigured in the scriptures, how the prophets talked about the Messiah. He's talking about an intimate knowledge and a relationship of following. He's talking about surrender. He's talking about dedication. That compared to this, the law was lost to him. The law did not provide this for him. Because now he realizes that in order to be righteous, he had to be delivered from sin. The law could not do that. So he was happy to give up all his privileges as a Pharisee. He was happy to do that. Because he wants to be found in Christ. He wants to follow. He wants to evangelize. He wants to write. He wants to teach. He wants to tell everyone else the good news. In 2 Corinthians, he talks about how he's stoned and he's beaten and he's shipwrecked and he's attacked in the city. He's attacked in the country. He's attacked by Jews. He's attacked by Gentiles. But he goes on. Because the important part is the fact that he's in Messiah. He's in Jesus Christ. And everything else counts as nothing. Everything else he counts as loss. Everything else he counts as rubbish. So he's given up all this. And you see from reading this that he's excited about this. He's never acted this way before. He has an excitement about all of this. Oh, I know the music's already started. Oh, I'm not even halfway through my notes, but we might have to continue this again next week. We'll see, but You'll have to tune in to find out. So thanks for listening, and tune in next week to Gift of Grace, where we'll read and teach God's word, and we'll proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week.